Join the army for money for college. Now I'm trading bullets for knowledge. Isn't quite what I bargained for. They didn't tell me there'd be no war. Thought of the adventure, I thought it would be cool. I could see the whole world and go back to school. But for 3 months I've been on this ship, staring at the water, what a lame ass trip. When I get the call, I gotta jump in a copter, flying to the desert, join it to a slaughter. But you know that I'm a pacifist, shooting in the dark at a terrorist. I got those pre-invasion jitters. Ain't no traitor, ain't no quitter.
You're tuned in to 88.1 FM, KVSC St. Cloud, your sound alternative, and a very special episode of the Crispy Critics. Today we're going to be taking some time to talk to David Dondero about touring, his new record label, Team Love, that he's jumped aboard, and his excellent, excellent new album, Simple Love, which is his sixth solo album since he started out in 1999 after breaking apart from Sunbrain. Okay, so the new album came out on Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, the 21st.
Are you pretty excited? Do you still get excited about getting your new releases out there? Is it kind of nerve-wracking before they hit the street? Or
I'm happy to get it out because it's been quite a while since it was finished. You know, it was finished like last year at this time, but so finally it's now out, which I'm happy about, you know.
What takes so long to get it out versus, you know, recording it and then finally having it hit the streets?
No, I was waiting on the artwork to be done, you know, like I had a certain idea for that, but that took a little while, and then we just kind of kept postponing because there's other things going on, and you know, finally it's about a year went by, and then we were like, yeah, let's do it in late August, you know. Sounds like a good time.
Right on. I noticed you were on iTunes. Are you excited about the new digital revolution, the ease of having people click and have your songs downloaded right away versus the old hard copy version at the store?
I don't know. It's mixed emotions because, you know, it's kind of sad to see the record stores going by the wayside, you know. There's benefits to it, which I think are can be good for a guy like me, but then again, it's just like I'm kind of old-fashioned. I like to have the actual item in my hand, the artwork. I think it's changing people's approach to an artist, whereas instead of listening to a whole album, they'll just listen to one or two songs because it's just easy to click into it.
I see you're utilizing MySpace pretty well. How long have you had your profile up on there?
About a year, a little over a year, year and a half. Yeah. That works pretty well. That's a nice thing to let people know when you're playing. Now I'm starting to sell stuff on the Snowcap on there, so that works all right.
Yeah, I saw that. That works pretty good then? People, you know, just click and buy a song for 99 cents right off of there? Is that making a decent amount of money, or is it just kind of starting up?
Just kind of starting up. I mean, I haven't really seen it. Yeah, it's just been up for a couple months.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of I don't know, it's a neat little aspect that people have come up with, you know, because there's got to be a way to make money off the MySpace pages, but it took a while to figure it out, I think, for the industry. The new album, I thought it was fantastic. I just got it like about 2 weeks ago from the station and reviewed it. I thought it was just great. How do you like pick which songs you have not necessarily recorded or put to vinyl or record before? Like, I know you've got two tracks that you've been kind of playing on tour for a few years and you just decided now to record them?
Yeah. You know, there's one on the record that I've been playing for 10 years, The Mighty Mississippi, and the One-Legged Man Walk a Three-Legged Dog, that's been around for about 5 years, 6 years. And then, you know, a bunch of them are brand new. Kind of like at the time of the recording, you know, I just, whatever is fresh, I usually do, and then sometimes resurrect some old songs to fill in the gap if it fits with the theme.
Saw a one-legged man walk a three-legged dog. See a one-legged man walk a three-legged dog. See a one-legged man walk a three-legged dog. See an old alley cat, he was gnawing on the foot of a hog. I saw a little green chameleon. Saw a baby green chameleon. Down in Opelousas on a porch swing. He's trying hard to blend in, but I seen him, yeah, I saw him.
black snake, he's coiled upon a rock. Seen a red black snake, he's just coiled upon this rock. Seen a red black snake in Yosemite Park. But I knew he wouldn't bite.
How long have you been playing? What's there? There's the 10-minute track at the end. I thought that was kind of an interesting experimental approach. Is that been around for a while?
That's been around a few years, but I've tried to record it a couple times, and it just never really comes off. It's more of a live song, but so we tried to do that part with Eddie Hobazal on the jazz piano, and that seemed to kind of make it a little more interesting, you know, like halfway through. It's such a long song, so adding that other dimension, I think it's easier for the listener to get through it.
Well, so do you feel like you're more of a live artist? I seem like the Live at the Hemlock CD, it kind of transports you right there just listening to it. It feels like it's live, and it seems like you do very vibrant shows, and there's a lot of excitement behind it. It seems like you have a lot of fun. Do you feel like you prefer, say, touring to, you know, recording an album, or do you feel like, you know, they're pretty much, they have to go together? Like, how do you love doing live shows?
I love doing them both, but I think that the recording process is a completely different thing. To do it the same way every night, a song, or do it the same way it is on the album, I think it'd be kind of boring for me. So I'd like to mix it up every night, do a little bit different, maybe different arrangements, you know, with players playing with me. And yeah, but the studio is a whole different thing. You know, you're in there painting a picture, not necessarily something you're going to do ever again, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. One of the things that I always kind of wondered when I was listening to Live at the Hemlock, which was kind of my introduction to you, that was the first album I ever heard of yours, and kind of grabbed me and pulled me in. But the little battles with Craig D on the stage, are those real? I mean, are you really guys kind of at each other's throats? Maybe not necessarily that strong of wording, but was he a problem on the tour? Or?
No, that was all a joke. That old deal was, I actually asked him, we were in Toronto. No, we were in Montreal, and it was like a real stiff crowd. And I was like, man, you got to do something. Punch me in the face during like the slowest song. You know, like just come up and punch me in the face and, you know, to mix it up, you know, shock the audience. And he wouldn't do it, but he was like, I'll do it when you least expect it. And I was like, all right. So he waited for San Francisco. But it was supposed to be a pull in the punch, but he got a little bit drunk and he, like, all his body weight went into it. He laid me out. I kind of had it coming, I think.
Well, how did you end up on Team Love? It seems like you've bounced around on a few labels, and Team Love definitely, it seems like they're definitely a great up-and-coming label. They've got some good artists behind them. I just was kind of wondering how you ended up on their label.
Well, Connor Oberst asked me to be on the label. I guess early on, like when Saddle Creek was just starting, like he wanted me to be on there, but I got outvoted, and then he was like, well, when I start another label, you can be on that label. So it finally came to fruition, and you know, and then he started putting my records out. So I'm happy to be with those guys, working with Connor and Saddle Creek Team Love team. They're all kind of working together.
How is it? Is it a lot different from the other labels you've been a part of?
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a friendly based thing, and I feel as if I can trust them. Whereas in Future Farmer, it's got a little gray area. There's the gray areas got kind of dark after a while. Things got a little dark. Glad to be away from that label. Ghost, the other label I was on, Ghost Meat, that was pretty much just a website. It was kind of not a real record label. It's just something ordered offline, and it's not really like a label that actively markets my stuff. It's just kind of there as a place where you can get it. So, Team Love is first, like, the best label I've been on. So.
Glad to hear it's working out for you. It's probably a couple more days before you find out how the album sold?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I guess I'll find out sometime.
Do you really?
I'm not really that concerned about it. Honestly, it doesn't really matter what it debuts at. It's out there, you know. Take it or leave it.
People that enjoy it will find it, and hopefully you went over a few more, but.
You don't love anyone. You don't love anybody. You don't love anyone but yourself. Honey, you're so beautiful. You are so beautifully dull. You got the perfect face, but inside yourself you got nothing at all. You don't need anybody. You don't love anyone but yourself and your money. I just got bored.
How much of the year are you touring? Are you touring right now?
I just got back. I played at a university, Clemson University, a couple days ago. But I'm heading back to Wilmington, North Carolina now. I started a tour on September 3rd. I'll be going out with Against Me for about 17 shows, and then go on my own for about another 10 shows. Then I meet up with Richard Buckner and do another about 17 shows with him. But I'll be coming through. You're out of, are you in St. Cloud?
Yep, St. Cloud, Minnesota, right at SCSU.
Yeah, you know, Richard Buckner and I, we're going to come through. We're going to go play in, I think, St. Paul in early November.
Brennan, where are you going to be playing at?
I don't know the venue yet. I know that there's a date. It's either Minneapolis or St. Paul, but I don't think that they have actually confirmed, you know, the whole deal. I'm excited to come back to the Twin Cities.
Yeah, it seems like you get here pretty regularly. Is that you attempt to do that, or is it just kind of the tour takes you around wherever it may, you know, put you?
Yeah, it's kind of like where they route it, you know, or where the demand is. I've never really done so well around Minneapolis. It's always been kind of a hard town on me.
But, that's weird, man, because you're so, you know, Midwestern, you know. That's the vibe I get from the records, and you throw out some references and everything. It's odd that Minneapolis hasn't really picked up on you, say, as much as the others.
Yeah, it's weird because that's, you know, my home state, so it'd be nice to come through and not be good in your home state, but it has been the case. But maybe it will this time around, I hope.
Man,
I want to go up there to Duluth, try to play. That's where I'm actually from originally, is Duluth, Minnesota.
Where do you, have you played in Duluth much, or?
I've never played up there.
Oh, wow.
I played in Ironwood in the upper peninsula of Michigan. It's about as close to Duluth as I've come. Or Madison. Where else did I play? At Fargo. I played there a bunch. East Moorhead.
Do you have any, like, horrible show stories, or do you usually have, you know, they're either mediocre or great, or do you have any just awful, this is what happened, I was attacked by the bartenders, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I had one in Chattanooga. This is many years ago. Promoter, I was actually kind of set up, some kind of misunderstanding. This kind of a long story, but this girl I let use my truck, she sabotaged it, or just left it there, and it got trashed out by these punks, and I was like, what? And they hauled it off to the dump, and I was like, that was my truck, and I let you borrow my truck, you know, that's not very nice, you know, so I'm out this truck, and then so her and I had a falling out, but her boyfriend was the promoter the next time around. I don't know, he heard her side of the story, and then it was like, oh, I'm going to get this guy, you know. All I did was let the girl use my truck, you know, to drive from Bloomington to Chattanooga, and then all of a sudden this thing is gone, you know. Anyways, the next time I go through there, you know, I get booked with, like, these four death metal bands, and I'm right in the middle, and I got these, like, four skinhead guys on the edge of the stage. They just keep spouting off to me the whole time, just saying it's really, really evil things to me, you know. You know, anything they could think of, they're saying, they're trying to get a rise out of me, trying to make me get in a fight with them or something. Then all of a sudden, you know, I've had enough. I was like, you know, forget it. You know, all right, you guys, you know, let's go. And it just turned into, like, this kind of scuffle. The promoter came up and just broke it up. He's like, get your shit, get out of here, you know. Don't ever come back here.
That's
And then he gave me all the money, which was weird. He gave me all the money, but then he told all the other bands that it was their show, that he was going to give me all the money because I'm the big star or something, and if you guys, who were actually the draw, if you guys want to get paid, you got to go to me to get the money, you know?
Wow, that's pretty...
So it's like, he tried to pit the bands against me to, you know, like, because it was actually their show, you know? And so he's like, no, I gave all the money to him, trying to get them to kick my ass or something. But it was crazy. It all worked out in the end. These guys, these Christian rock guys, they saved us and took us up to their mansion on the side of the hill. Weird. And they gave us our own place to sleep, and I woke up, and they're all sitting there reading the Bible. And it, like, creeped me out, so we took off out of there. That was a bad night. That was probably the worst night.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. Did you think about maybe asking Team Love to put a hit out on those guys, maybe?
I don't know, man. I haven't been back through that town since.
I wouldn't go back there.
When your heart breaks deep and you're feeling like there's no place to go. And you're losing sleep over things that you don't even know. I gotta tell you, buddy, maybe you should just let her go. 'Cause you're feeling cruddy like a naked man walking in the snow. When your heart breaks deep 'cause you lost all your faith and your trust. Yeah, she was clean in the sheets and she's telling you the dog just threw up. And she told you she loved you, she's with someone else just the night before. And you're feeling like a fool and you just can't take it anymore. She was not being truthful, no, she's not being kind. She's not being truthful, Larry. She's awful lying. And your heart broke deep. Now you're feeling like there's no place to go. And the coldest city.
Well, how'd you end up touring with Against Me? It seems like kind of an odd bill. They're, you know, they're a fantastic band. I dig them, but kind of an interesting mismatch. What happened there?
When Tom was just beginning Against Me, he was playing acoustic guitar, and I did many shows, not many, but a few shows playing in Gainesville with him, you know, doing like laundromat shows and house shows, DIY shows, and, you know, so I'd known him ever since. It's what, back about 98 or so, 97, and they were coming around this time. We had talked about me playing on a Canadian tour, and that didn't pan out, so he's like, yeah, that's somewhere down the road, let's try to tour together. Just happened to work out this time around, so doing it.
What, laundromat shows? What, can you elaborate on that? I've never seen a laundromat show.
Well, we used to have these show where you just do it at the laundromat. You just go in there and cram like about 100 people in this little laundromat, and everybody would be standing, like, just crammed in there, and then you do, like, a folk punk show, you know? Yeah, pretty amazing times, really good shows. Gainesville, the cop showed up, but then the cop was like cool about us having the show in the laundromat. He just was like, shut the door and don't let anybody else in because the crowd is, you know. But it was nice, man. Those were good times. And, you know, I've done like gas station shows, you know, where you show up and do a show at a convenience store. Everybody shows up in the parking lot there and then you do a quick show and then you get out of there.
That's pretty genius, man. Just hurry up, get the music out there. And
yeah, you know, the BART station shows and San Francisco, you do those down at Subway, show up, plug into the light, you know, with your amp or whatever, if you want to bring an amp, walk out there until the cops come and then the show's over.
Is there
but that was a long time ago.
Are there any repercussions for when the cops get you, or do they usually maybe at the worst give you a ticket? Or
no, just pack it up, that, you know, unless you want to keep going, then you probably get a ticket. Usually just come and tell you to cut it out, and then you cut it out. But if you keep going, then, yeah, they come back and they're pissed off.
Yeah, then they'll pepper spray you. That sounds about right. Have you checked out your Wikipedia page? Did you find it odd that you have one, or did you know?
I heard that I had had one. I hadn't read it, but a friend of mine said that he read it. Maybe I should look at it, see if it's correct.
Yeah, it's, I was, you know, pretty much, it's, Wikipedia blows my mind. It's, you know, you wouldn't expect it. No, David Dondero's got a thing. Sunbrain's got a thing. That's pretty neat. You know, they credit you with the creation of the distressed vocal style that has become popular by Bright Eyes. I thought that was kind of interesting. I'd never heard anybody label your style before, and I thought that was kind of... How do you feel about being credited with the distressed vocal style?
Wow. That's pretty cool. Nice.
Do you find it odd that they put a label to it?
Yeah. That's fine with me. They got to come up with a label for everything, you know? Why not?
So do you listen to any contemporary music, or what are your opinions on the... I'll just throw it out there, the crap on the modern radio. Are you a fan or kind of horrified?
No, I'm not. I don't like it. I have a hard time with pop radio, and I don't really like hardly any of it. Left of the dial is usually where I'm at if I'm listening to the radio, NPR or college radio. Sometimes we listen to the modern country just as like to see like how ridiculous it can be. It's pretty funny. I mean, it's funny to try to dissect the psyche of the modern country music. It's wild how they
turn it into one giant commercial.
Yeah, go America.
Sell whatever product they need to sell. And who's to say, maybe I'll use one of my songs to sell a product someday. I'm not sure. Depends on the product.
Maybe you can PlayStation. Get in on that one there. You got pre-invasion jitters. You got a little word in there about PlayStation, you know. Maybe go after Sony, see what they're willing to do.
It's hard to say what you do. They dangled some golden carrot in front of your face. But when you're living, like, you know, hardly any money rolling in, you know, it's like hard to say what you do or fault anybody who does. Unless you're Ian MacKay and you're selling hundreds of thousands of records, then you can afford to say you wouldn't sell an ad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet sister, help me along. Help me be strong. Never get bored. Never ignore. Always amused and always in tune. Sweet love, you know the deal. I can't predict the things that you feel. I need a breather, I need a towel. I need a lover, I need it now. 'Cause I was born through the simple love. I was worn like a boxing glove. I was torn from the humid skies above.
Well, you seem like kind of one of the early opponents of the war in Iraq with the pre-invasion jitters, which I think kicks mad ass, and I've forced many people to listen to it, and almost always to good results. But are you still kind of horrified by what's going on over there, or what are your feelings on that?
I've been since before it even happened, and it's just like, it just seems to just get worse as time goes on. And it's just appalling to me that this country does what it does. Country that I'm a citizen of. I don't know what's going to happen, man, but something revolutionary needs to happen with this country, because I think it's just really terrible.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the time being, even, you know. I don't know how it's going to go with getting the new president in there, but I wouldn't cross my fingers too much.
I don't know. I don't know either. I just want to try my best.
Well, protest songs are a good way to go. I think that one gets played quite a bit, so... you were born in Duluth. Did you grow up there, or was it, you know, just birth and then move on? Or
I was born there, and then I left there when I was 7. And I've only, you know, go back for weddings and funerals and reunions since then. I was just there a couple summers ago for my grandma's funeral. I might go up there to live this winter for a couple months.
Those hills are dangerous when they're iced over. They're scary, man.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good place to escape for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's very pretty in the summer, and it's got a nice blanket of snow in the winter. It's very scenic.
Yeah, like the ocean, Lake Superior.
The cold, cold ocean. So, what are your plans for the future? You got any, it's too soon to expect you to be thinking about a new record, eh?
I have a bunch of new songs. I got about eight songs that I could apply towards a new record, but I'm probably not going to do that till the winter. I had this kind of dream of trying to record with that guy Alan from Low up there. Duluth. That's one of the reasons I was like, man, I gotta try to get in touch with that guy to try to do a record up there. I don't know if he's still recording. I talked to him years ago and I heard that he was like doing some recordings up there, but I don't know. That'd be pretty cool though.
Yeah, that sounds good. Are you a big fan of Low? Or?
Yeah, I really like them a lot.
How do you feel about the direction the new albums took? Are you kind of more of a old Low with the quiet hushness, or the more kind of pop Low, or kind of like everything, you know, it's a progression?
I'm kind of an old Low fan, I'd have to say, the early years.
There's definitely a couple of gems on the last one, but I wasn't too big of a fan of the poppy one. But the earlier stuff, it's just amazing, like what they can do with the... I don't know, maybe the desolation in the songs, the sheer quietness and the beautiful harmonies. It's Low is something else, man. It's always nice when somebody really impressive comes out of your area. It's good bragging rights.
Yeah. driving through the rain as I speak.
Right on.
It started to pour down here.
All right, well, cool, man. Thanks for,
miles from the ocean.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you very much for, you know, letting us do the interview. Love the records, man. The new one's phenomenal. Looking
Thank
forward
you.
To everything you put out, man. So I guess we'll be
so
seeing
much,
you in November.
Man.
Well, good luck traveling. Keep on being awesome, you know. And I guess we'll keep playing the crap out of you here at KV. And take care, man. Thanks very much.
You too, man. Thank you.
Yep, have a good one, dude.
The dream ain't what it seems, but this reality, it's nearly dead.
All right, much thanks to David Dondero for taking the time to do an interview with us today. He is currently out on tour behind his latest album, Simple Love, which is in stores now off of the Team Love record label. He will be coming through St. Paul coming up on November 6th at the Turf Club, so be sure to keep an eye out for that. And check out myspace.com/DaveDondero for any upcoming dates that may be heading your way. So, thank you for tuning into the Crispy Critics. We'll be back next week with new record reviews for you. And have a great week, fellas and ladies.
But I love you more than anyone I know. I do not know anyone at all. Station wagon, Whittier, Alaska, in the pouring rain, outside a bar called the Anchor Inn. There was a fight, I heard your love affair dissolve, problem solved, with a broken fist, bloody nose and a busted lip. There's no sound, just the Prince William sound, and he don't say a thing. It's almost summer, it rains and snows and rains again. If I return, just to find that I'm dead to you, can my ghost climb in bed with you? I'll possess your boyfriend's body, then you'll be making love to me. Love him more than anyone you know. But you don't know anyone at all. Mind are in collusion. Sleep, you're not alive. If you dream, can you still survive? And do you feel that your life is consuming you? The illusion's ruining you. Your love's a fallacy. So what on earth could set you free?